Turn with me, if you will, to the front of the Bible, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14, and we're going to begin reading, and I'm going to read verse 22. As soon as I get the shadow off my notes. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your gain that the field produced year by year. You shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain, the tithe of your new wine and your old, of the firstborn of your herd and the flocks, and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Now, let's drop down to verse 26 real quick, because this is what I want to focus on. Verse 26, and you shall spend that money for whatever your hearts desire, for whatever your heart desires. So, let's put this into perspective. 10% of your increase throughout the year, you've got a 7 or 8 day period in which to do whatever your heart desires. How awesome is that? Now give that same responsibility, and we can look at this as a responsibility, to someone who doesn't have the truth of God. You just give me a stack of cash and you say I got 7 days to get rid of it? You betcha. You know, I mean, this is, now, if we as God's people don't think that God tests us, judges us, and find out exactly who we are during this period, we've got, for most of us, a lot of money to spend in a very short period of time. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat before the Lord. And actually, I want to go up a little bit in that, in verse 6. For your oxen, your sheep, your wine, or similar drink, and that's out of the New King James Version. And if you look at the King James, it says strong drink. Oh, so really, you know, this is whatever your heart desires. And he doesn't really put any limits on us in this scripture. Whatever your heart desires. Today, I want to start by giving some statistics. And all of these statistics I compiled from the internet, so we know how accurate they are. and it's a list of top 10. Now, this top 10 list is going to be in no particular order, because I ended up having to develop it from 4 different websites. And you know, it's really interesting. From brains.org, listdose.com, addiction.org, and growingleaders.com. So from all 4 of these websites, I compiled a top 10 list of addictions. So we're going to take a look at that. And again, it's in no particular order, but I am going to segregate it just a little bit, because when we think about addictions, you've got your chemical addictions. Everybody can relate to drug, alcohol, cigarettes, things that have chemicals involved. But today we've got a lot of psychological addictions, and I want to touch those as well. So again, no particular order. Number 1, alcohol addiction. And we know that since man has been fermenting whatever, there has been alcohol abuse, alcoholism. And number 2, the drug addiction, is number 2 on my list, and I'm going to say 2 and 2.5, because you've got the illicit or the illegal drugs that all of us are familiar with, but we've also got prescription drugs. These are legal drugs. These are drugs you can go down, if anybody's been to a dentist or a doctor with a painful, something wrong with them, you can get the doctor to give you a prescription for pain medicine. There's a commentary entitled Addictions to Prescription Painkillers Are Epidemic. And this is was written by Don Hoosier, who was one of the guest speakers in 2012 here at the Feast of Tabernacles in Phoenix. When you hear about addictions to drugs, you may think first of street drugs such as cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine or meth, but the number of people addicted to prescription drugs is greater than the number of addictions to all three of these street drugs combined. Now, put that into perspective. So we think about the drug dealers out on the street corner selling and peddling their drugs, but we don't think about the prescription drugs, or the legal drugs, if you will, that people are most addicted to in the world we live in. These are things that, yeah, the world's somewhat accepted. They're, you know, this is really somewhat interesting. Now, I'm going to give you the title of my sermon today, and it's also a question. Are we accepting the unacceptable? And I'm going to continue the list of top 10 as I go on here. But the question is, are we accepting the unacceptable? And that's also the title to today's message. Now, number 3 in the list is smoking. And again, this is no particular order. But let's all turn over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And, you know, smoking, who's that hurting? That's my prerogative. This is nothing, I mean, that's my choice. It's about me, right? So smoking is one of those innocuous addictions that you can kind of pawn off, or you can justify, or in some cases just simply accept. So let's go on and read 1 Corinthians 3, and starting in verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, this is where we all need to notice. Verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We are the temple of God. Now, I'm going to drop actually below that top 10. There's also, when you look at some of the leading addictions in today's society, body mutilation, tattooing, piercing, things of that nature. When you defile, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. So we need to think about these kind of things. What are we doing to ourselves? Now, this really affects, more importantly, not a lot of the older folks here today, but the younger generation, the young adults, the teens, the preteens. They're susceptible. They're swayed to do these kind of things. Are we as a society, are we as God's church? Does this affect God's church? Does it? We need to think about that. Now, dropping down on my list one more time. Well, number 4 is gambling. Now, when I grew up, when I was growing up, back in the 60s and the 70s, on the West Coast you had Las Vegas, and on the East Coast you had Atlantic City. You didn't find lottery tickets or the Powerball, the Mega Millions, and they've got a plethora of all these different forms of gambling and every kind of scratcher ticket you can imagine. But today, I'm not even sure how many casinos are here in Arizona. And from what I understand, and I don't have exact numbers on this, but I believe Utah is the only state in the United States today that doesn't have one form of gambling or another. But wait a minute. If you've got the Internet, a PayPal account, and access to the Internet, you can still gamble in Utah. Even though it's illegal, you can still get away with it. And we know the saying about Las Vegas. They call it Sin City. Wow. Wouldn't you like to live in Sin City? And I know there are some here today that probably lived in Las Vegas. My wife and I, we married in Las Vegas. But Sin City, wow, what a stigma. The tagline, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Wow, that's cool, isn't it? So dropping down to number 5, video games and technology. Well, when I was young, I remember when they came out with Pong. Boom, boom, boom. Pretty simple game, you know. Well, today it's evolved quite considerably, and this has happened over a very short period of time. Video games, now it's a multi-billion dollar a year industry, and you see it, the ones that get the most attention, they've got rated X They've got sex. They've got the more blood, guts, and destruction and death and murder that you can do. That's the most popular. They're the ones that with the highest proceeds. Now, again, this is no particular order. Food addictions. There are those that we've seen them, and there are health issues related to food addictions. But we're looking at some of maybe the disorders such as bulimia, anorexia, and these are psychological addictions. It's not a chemical addiction. We've also got number seven, interestingly enough, and when you look on the internet, some sites actually list the internet as the number one addiction in today's society. Imagine that. Shopping, work addictions, or workaholics, those that have no time to do anything but work. And some of the other lists that that we looked at, canning. Well, I don't know where that fits in. Stealing, but we know that there are the kleptomaniacs, those that walk into a store and they even though they have the money, they still have to steal whatever they want. Talking, boasting about yourself, or gossiping. That's another addiction. Now one I think we can all relate to, and let's look at this for just a second. If we were to measure the morality of today's society based on television programming, now what would we find? What would we come up with? Well, when I grew up in Southern California, which everyone knows that Hollywood's out there in the L.A. Basin area. And when I was growing up, we had a total of 7 television stations. Well, we were fortunate. Boy, some states only had 2 or 3, but we had 7 television stations. And we had some of my favorites were I Love Lucy show, where Lucille Ball and Ricky, those that remember, they slept in separate beds. When they showed a picture of their bedroom, there were twin beds in there. They didn't even show them sleeping in the same bed. Well, fast forward to today. We've got the Andy Griffith Show. Well, I remember one episode where Andy took Opie out to the woodshed. Well, that would be called child abuse today, wouldn't it? I mean, what are they going to do in the woodshed? And I can go on and on about that, but I won't. Today we have hundreds of television stations. You can buy some of the most illicit sex in the world right in the comfort of your own living room. Some of the comments you actually may want to think about it. Well, I was watching that show because, there was nothing else on. Well, was that show right? Are we accepting the programming of today's world? Are we watching things? Are we putting things into our mind, seeing it with our eyes, that we should be turning and running from? I want everybody to think about it. So when we talk about, are we accepting the unacceptable? We really need to think about it, because does it affect God's church? We're all being bombarded with it continually. Are we accepting the unacceptable? Now, I'm done with the list of the top 10. I want to read, and this is from Gallup. And this is actually some old information, but let's go ahead and compound it just a little bit for today's message. In August 2002, Gallup asked Americans in an open-ended forum to estimate the percentage of American men and the percentage of American women who are homosexual. So they're asking people, so how many homosexuals are out there? The average estimates were that 21% of men are gay and 22% of women are lesbian. In fact, roughly a quarter of the public thinks more than 25% of men and 25% of women are homosexual. It should be pointed out that many Americans, at least 1 in 6, they couldn't even give an answer. They didn't even want to respond to the question. But this was the mindset. This is how many we think, and this isn't a gay bashing or any of that type of message, but it's just information that we all really need to consider. Now, let's look at some of the actual numbers based on that original survey. An estimated 9 million Americans, or nearly 4% of the total population, say they identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, according to a new report. From the Williams Institute, a think tank devoted to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender research at UCLA. And you can go on to abcnews.go.com to get that information. But the actual number, and this is as close as we, this is as close as I could get to the actual statistic out there, was 4% of the American population are actually gay. Well, if we think about this, we have got how many states, I'm not even sure, that approve of gay marriage, have voted it in. And I've got a very discouraging statistic. What do our young people think about this? Because that's the next generation. They're the ones most vulnerable and most, I hate to use the word naive, but frankly, that's what it is. It's being somewhat naive. What do the young people think about this? With young adults by far the most tolerant of homosexuals among those 18 to 29 years old, and this number I want everybody to listen to, 73% of the youth between 18 and 29 years old, 73% support same-sex marriage. Are we accepting the unacceptable? The trend seems to be more likely to accelerate than reverse. More than a third of Americans surveyed say that their views have changed significantly over time towards gay marriage. And you can find that in the Huffington Post. Now, we've all heard the saying, you're homophobic. All you have to do is say something negative, and suddenly the stigma is thrown back on you. If it feels good, do it. You know, that's somewhat of the motto a lot of the youth and many people in today's society live by. Go with the flow. Now, I want a quote from, actually this is a quote from Overcoming Pornography, a UCG Bible study aid under the section titled, What is Pornography Addiction? When we think of addiction, we most often think of being addicted to chemicals. The truth of the matter is that people can also be addicted to behaviors. Some of these behaviors, and we've already talked about those, include eating, gambling, and sex. And the number one type of sexual addiction is habitual viewing of the pornography. Well, I want you to think about this. Many of us here have computers, and the website don't always steer you in the right direction. And I know, speaking for myself, you click on a link and something pops up in front of you. It's there in front of you. It's there in front of our kids. It's there in front of the young adults, the youth of our society. And in many ways, it can be tempting for them. Are they accepting it? Are we accepting it? Now, I've got to give a little bit of a disclaimer here. As I was writing the sermon this week, over the last few weeks, my wife says, so what are you going to be speaking about when you get back from the feast this year? And I told her the title of my message. And if you go on to the Beyond Today magazine, which is on the church's website, there's an article by Lorelei Nettles, Accepting the Unacceptable. Now, mine isn't tight. This was sheerly, I think it's because we've been married 30 plus years and we're starting to think alike. But she just kind of laughed and she says, I've got some information you may want to look at. What I want to do now is I want to look at some of the parallels between two cities that I think most of us here have heard about. And those two cities are Sodom and Gomorrah. And there are a lot of parallels when we start thinking about it. Now, the first account, if you'll start turning back to Genesis 13, and I'll read a lot of this from my notes. Genesis 13 in verse 10 is one of the first accounts of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it really isn't an account, it's a reference to Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 13 and in verse 10, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. And in my Bible, in parentheses, it says, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I'm not sure if yours says the same thing, but this is the first account of Sodom and Gomorrah that I can find in my in the New King James Version. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Now, continuing, dropping down to verse 12, Abram, now that was Abraham before he became Abraham, or that was Abram was Abraham prior to his name being changed by God. In verse 12, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Now, we don't know exactly all of the things that went on there, but we know by reading the Bible that there were some pretty notorious people that lived in this town. But as you read from chapter 13 up to where we're going, we know that there were a lot of accounts. People did business with the men, the women of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they saw things a little bit differently than God. And even Abraham actually went up to bat to a certain degree for these cities. And we're going to read about that right now. So in Genesis, moving forward to Genesis 18, and I want us all to kind of put this into perspective. In Genesis 18, and verse 22, I'll start in verse 22. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham, now his name is no longer Abram, it's Abraham. So there's been a considerable amount of time that's passed by, that's gone by here. And in this time, you know, Lot's been there. He had his tents pitched all the way up to Sodom. They did business. And, you know, we've all done business with people. That person at the grocery store, well, that's a really nice guy. Foul mouth, but, you know, really nice guy. And we see things maybe with somewhat of a naive eye, or the eye that God doesn't look through. God sees things in his own way. And Abram, in verse 23, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he's talking to God here. He's talking to God. In verse 24, suppose there were 50 righteous in the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? So we've got Abraham, you know, talking to God, saying, you know, it can't be that bad. There's got to be some good people around. And he's seeing things through Abraham's eyes, not his own. Or he's seeing things through his own eyes, not God's eyes. And he continues to negotiate. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And then the Lord, you know, he's listening. Verse 26, so the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. Okay, if I find 50 people that are good people, I'm going to go ahead and make everything okay, and they're going to be safe. Well, Abraham thought that might have been a little bit too easy as we go forward. And then Abraham answered and said, indeed, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. So we know he's speaking to God. Now, he may have been speaking to an angel, and God's speaking through the angel to him. We don't know exactly how he was communicated, but he was speaking to the Lord, to the Eternal at this point, and the Eternal was speaking to him. Verse 28, suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for the lack of 5? So he said, and this is the Lord speaking, if I find that there are 45, I will not destroy it. And we can continue this, and I think everybody's read this particular portion of the Bible. Finally, Abraham gets down to 10. And God sees things a lot differently than maybe Abraham does. He knows that the world, or that area at least, has gone astray. They're doing things that are just appalling, disgusting, detestable. And they've accepted things, they're doing things that are truly unacceptable. Finally, I think Abraham got it. So, let's get into a little bit different conversation here. What does the Lord find acceptable? And how do we decide what is acceptable for us as God's people? Because we've got to look at what the Lord considers acceptable, not what we consider acceptable. And those things are completely different. Let's turn into the New Testament. Turn over to Ephesians 5. And this is where we start getting into what our Lord finds acceptable. And this is truly the important part of this message today. What does God find acceptable? And we need to apply it to our lives, because there are a lot of things being thrust at us in today's world, and it's increasing. God knows that he is going to be coming. He's doing it in his own time. But Satan is on a rampant pace right now, increasing all the distractions, all the things that are unacceptable to God. And after we've been bombarded for so long, we become numb in many cases. And suddenly the unacceptable, we start changing our attitudes on. Ephesians 5, and we're going to begin in verse 8. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And in verse 10, this is important. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. What is acceptable to the Lord? Now, I know that I had such a wonderful, awesome time this year at the feast. But at the same time, it struck me. God is testing each one of us when he gives us 10% of our annual increase and says, do what you want to with it. Are we doing the things that are acceptable? And that's what our goal needs to be. We are the lights in this world. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, we're supposed to be pointing these things out, these things that are unacceptable to the Lord. We're supposed to be exposing them, not participating in them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Now, if you think about a lot of the things we've gone over here today, drugs, they're not done blatantly in the open. Pornography, it's in the comfort of your living room or your bedroom or in the darkness. You think about the stigma, not the stigma, but the way these unacceptable things are done. It's in secret. It's in hiding. But all these things are exposed, all these things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, we need to look at the things going on around us. It's increasing. 20 years ago, the internet as we know it didn't exist. Today, you've got all the pornography, you've got all the gambling, you've got all the illicit behavior, all the vicious games. But you've also got good things, very good things on the internet. Everything that I've compiled here today, as far as my message goes, came from the internet. We've got the church's website on the internet. We've got, you can go on and watch Beyond Today all day, anytime you like, on the internet. The Bible that I referenced to copy into my notes came from the internet. You can kind of liken the internet in a strange way to the tree of knowledge and evil. Or good and bad. You look at it, there's so many good things on the internet, so many bad things. But it is perpetuating the unacceptable and making it so accessible by many of our young people, or frankly, all of us. Continuing in Ephesians 5, see then that you walk And in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. We've got one opportunity, as I've spoke before in previous messages. We've got one opportunity to do this right. We need to make sure that we're spending our time wisely. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's what our goal is, brethren. That's what we need to all be doing. What is God's will, not my will? It's not if it feels good, do it. We need to look at what we're doing as God's people and think about it. Is this acceptable to God, and make that acceptable to us? And do not be drunk with wine. Well, God tells us, as we started this message in Deuteronomy, we can have strong drink. We can have whatever our hearts desire. And I think a lot of us, I'm going to tell on myself, I've probably overindulged from time to time. What happens when we do that? Where our minds change, our thoughts change. We do things that we wouldn't otherwise do. So we've got to consider that. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, God's Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of God. Now, I want to begin concluding here. This year during the feast, I met an individual. Actually, I met a couple that frankly, they made me cry. When I heard the story, and I asked this individual or this couple if I could use their story and share it in a message. I'm not going to give their names, but they had been in God's church, started in the late 70s. Throughout the 80s, and in 1995, we all know what took place, and they stayed with the previous affiliation. And in 1997, this individual was telling me the story. I actually want to jump back just a little bit. This year was the first feast they have had, they have enjoyed since prior to 1995. The first feast. And that struck me, and I asked them about their story. They went on to tell me that when they had a Christmas pageant in 1997, and he looked back and he said, "What am I accepting?" And wait a minute. He said something that kind of struck a nerve with me, because that was the message that I had been putting together. He says, "I was accepting the unacceptable, and it had been thrust on me one little piece at a time. First, the holy days are gone, and now it's a Christmas pageant or a Christmas play that's going to be taking place." So this individual and his wife, they quit attending. It ruined them. It tarnished them. They didn't know what to do, and he was appalled with himself because he let him. It's like he explained to me. It was like a dog going back to his vomit. He says, "I was doing what was unacceptable, so I quit. I stopped." And this individual, who's much bigger than I gave a great big bear hug, and he had me in tears. He said, "This is my first feast, and I want you to know," he says, "I will never breach ever again. I will never betray. God gave me a second chance to do it right, and this time I'll never accept the unacceptable again. I'll only do what has been proven and true and right." And when I heard this story, I had to mention it today. But in conclusion, brethren, Ephesians 5:9 is what I want to refer back to one more time. And starting Ephesians 5:9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness." And another scripture, I'll read it from my notes, is in Psalms 34:14. "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace." And we've all heard this. Pursue it. This is what we need to be looking to. We need to be looking to the acceptable things to God, not the acceptable things to the world. We can't just accept things because everyone else is. My final scripture is in 3 John. 3 John, there's only one book in 3 John. 3 John 1 and verse 11. Behold, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Brethren, are we accepting the unacceptable? We need to be doing our best every day, every minute of the day, to do only what is acceptable to God. And we need to find that. We need to find it for ourselves. It's right here. This is what's acceptable to God. God tells us. He gives us the rules. He gives us the instructions. We can't be doing things on our own page and because it feels good. We've got to do things that are only acceptable to God.